Remaining part of the previous file, English Metaphysicals. Communion with nature, the eternity. His thoughts concerning childhood in his poem The Retreat and largely echoes by Wordsworth in the Ode on the Imitation of Immortality in Childhood. His poem The World has a daring image. I saw eternity the other night, like a great ring of pure and endless light, all calm as it was bright. Corso's poetry is an oven work, whereas Herbert is gentle. Central stream, Crossa is an impetuous torrent. He is quite undisciplined and given to mood of religious exaltation and excitement. He has a taste of daring image and metaphysical conceit. The eyes of Mary Magdalene in the Weeper are described as to walking both, to weeping motion, potable and compendious ocean. He sings, sees a critic, the raptures of soul visited by divine love in term as concrete and glowing as any human lover has ever used to celebrate an earthly passion. Herein again his depth to Dunn is discernible. It is a mystic vein in Thomas Teherin which tempt a critic to classify with him with Vaughan, Vaughan, among the metaphysicals. Teherin is not a great poet, however, he completes the beauty of God's universe till it stirs in him a mystic response. Like Vaughan, he idealized childhood as the age in which a human being is nearest God. Crossa was the only Roman Catholic among the metaphysical poets, and Andrew Morwell, Milton's secretary and only Puritan. Unlike most Puritans, Morwell was not a hidebound fanatic. Rather, he appears in The Colors of Christian Humanist, dating from Elizabethan age. He, as a poet, has been assigned a quite high status by the school of modern critics led by F. R. Lewis. But in him we find English poetry already on its way to the neoclassicism of Dryden school. His greatest poem to his coy mistress is secular and not religious. In theme and execution, he urges his coy mistress to set her coyness and make the best of opportunities granted by time to them to make merry. Had we but word enough and time, this coyness lady were on wear on kind. But at my back I always hear time's wing chariot tearing near. The yonder wall before us lie, desert of vast eternity. The following lines have tragic pathos wedded to a metaphysical conceit. The grass, a fine and private place, but none, I think, do there embrace. The contribution of the metaphysical poets to English literature. First, metaphysical poet have given to the English language is its best religious poetry. The moods of incisive introspection and mysticism could best be expressed not through commonplace conventional poetic image and language, but unconventional and bold imagery which would jolt and mind and spirit of the reader into an intimate report with the mood of the poet. Herbert Dunn, Vaughan, Crossa and Teherin are the most important among the religious English poets of all ages. Second, in the field of love poetry, to the contribution of the metaphysicals is considerable and quite important for the historical point of view. When Dunn appeared on the stage, Spenser and his followers were following the patriarchal tradition of highly sentimental and idealized love poetry, which had not much to do with reality. Dunn demolished this claptrap and started a vein of highly realistic, frankly sensual and sometimes downright cynical amatory verse. He was critical of the Elizabethan sonneteer and lyricist who put their mistress, real or imaginary, on the pedestal of a deity and presented to woe them as their servants, dying or living in accordance with their moods of rejection or acceptance of their supplication. Dunn was frank enough. Love's not so poor and abstract as they use to say, which have no mistress but their missus. Third, even in the rudeness of and occasional vulgarity of their diction and versification, the metaphysical did some service to English poetry in that they made the poet realize that the smoothness of number alone does not make for great poetry. What was needed was a hard core of sense and left handling of experience related to the poet himself, who reserved for himself the liberty of to employ whatever diction and style he thought was eminently suitable for his purpose. After Dunn and his followers, the mere music of poetry could not capture for it any appreciative audience. Fourth, the intellectualism of the metaphysical poetry and the compositeness of its imagery and even the crabbed nature of its style secured for it a continuous stream of reader from generation to generation. In the modern time, all these qualities appear aggregable to a large number of readers. The modern poet, particularly T.S. Eliot, living in an age of crumbling values like the age of Dunn, have found a guide and a source of inspiration in Dunn. It is not surprising, then, that the modern critical canon Dunn is rated as one of the best English poet. The topic, English metaphysical over. The second part of the English metaphysical over and the topic also over.